My guest at this time is former Tennessee Senator and former U.S. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. He is now co-chair of the Partnership for a Healthier America, and he will be a very active part of the Building a Healthier Future Summit, which takes place here in the nation's capital today here on November 29th, as well as on Wednesday, November 30th. The idea, of course, is to make America healthier, and we've certainly heard a lot from the First Lady and others in recent years about the need to combat childhood obesity and really being overweight and out of shape at any age. And Senator, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you.
A longtime political watchers and people who know anything about your story also know that for most of your life you are a practicing physician, and so the health of the American people is something that's been a priority of yours long before you ever entered politics. Tell us a little bit about what the goal is here with this summit and through your organization, Partnership for a Healthier America.
Oh, well, thank you. And first of all, this is a huge, huge issue. And as you said in your introduction, after spending 20 years practicing medicine and 12 years in politics, I've chosen to focus on what I consider to be one of the defining issues of the current generation. The Partnership for a Healthier America, our summit here called Building a Healthier Future in the Nation's Capital, is private sector oriented in the sense that we're not looking for government solutions, but we're bringing together about 800 people from industry, from business, with their commitments, both with their own products, but also with a willingness to be measured over time, whether or not these commitments hold up, things that lower the barrier to better health for our young people, to make healthier choices the easier choice. Important issue, and just going through it real quickly, childhood obesity, there's been a threefold increase over the last 30 years. So it's a new problem. It's one can be fixed. It's a problem of the future. Kids born in 2000, one out of every three of them will develop diabetes with all of the debilitating increased cost, loss of productivity associated with that. Obesity cost our healthcare system about 10%. Of all healthcare spending is attributed to obesity. So it's a big deal. It's a new phenomenon. It can be reversed. Government's not the answer. Surely there's a policy role for it. But the real answer is going to start with families, with communities. Our focus today is how industry and how the private sector can partner and accelerate this overall movement to a healthier generation of young people.
I'll talk about that a little bit more. What do you see as the role of for-profit businesses, whether it's a fast food chain or someone else, a donut chain, for example, basically an entity you know going in, if you have any common sense, isn't going to be healthy for you? How much of a responsibility do those types of places have, or mainstream restaurants and stores, I guess, to really market or retailer their approach to what they do in order to try and make Americans healthier? And how much is it, as you suggested, Americans just getting an idea of what's really best for them?
Yeah, no, it is both. There's no slake of all these everything. There's no silver bullet to this. If it were, we'd be able to reverse it. It's medical, it's physical, it's advertising, it's consumer demand. But what is really neat today, and it wasn't true 5 years ago, is that large corporations are finding that offering healthier choices, better for you food products, products that have less sugar, menus that have healthy choices for the first time that are clearly labeled as healthy choices, that those companies and those products are showing increased profitability for the companies today. And that data is fascinating, and we're sharing that data over the course of the conference. And the other two or three quick examples, Hyatt Hotels sees 23 million people a year, and they are making a commitment today to put on every one of their menus, whether it's the poolside menus, the menus in their upscale restaurant, mid-scale restaurants, the increased number of healthy choices, labeling them as such, not saying you have to get it, but allowing people to have that access, lower that barrier. Another company called Fresh Grocer in Philadelphia, but along the East Coast, is committing to build 5 grocery stores in these food deserts, mainly in low-income areas, that don't have access to anything but fast foods or convenience stores. but to make vegetables, to make fruits, to make fresh foods available, to lower that barrier to access. And these are just the sort of initiatives that are coming forward, making commitments, and we will be measuring them over time.
And you just addressed this a little bit a moment ago, but how much does the down economy impact efforts to combat childhood obesity? The conventional wisdom seems to suggest that with less disposable income, you go for the cheaper things at the store, and oftentimes those are the least healthy for you. So what are some tips, if there are any, for trying to do all this on a budget?
Well, I think the two things on the budget. First of all, is our nation's economy, and we've got a debt, we've got a deficit, we've got excessive spending for the amount of resources that we have today. So, obviously, we've got to be realistic in the sense of how you solve any problem. I do think when you extrapolate what I said, that 10% of all healthcare spending today is due to obesity, that there's no question that national resources, not government, but national resources, percent of our economy that are invested to fight obesity has a long-term payout. Healthier people cost less and are more productive and grow our economy. Locally, it is a access issue, and it is how you improve access at comparable prices to foods, to vegetables, to fruits. And that can start in these food deserts, the 23 million people who don't have it because of where they live, but can continue where every child spends most of their day. That is in schools. It means that local communities need to come together. It doesn't have to be mandated from Washington. Need to come together to say this is important. And sugary beverages being the only, or high sugary beverages being the only option or only alternative our kids have in schools is not in the best interest of our kids in terms of their livelihood and in terms of their living a fulfilling life in the future.
Senator, last question before we let you go, and this is a specific case that just happened the last couple of days, so I don't know how much we can extrapolate from it, but there's a story, I believe, out of Ohio, where a third grader weighing 200 pounds was taken away from his family as a result of being obese at such a young age. You talked about how government's not really the solution here. What do you make of stories like that, and do you believe that is the government's role?
You know, I don't know the details of that, and therefore, you know, it would be unwise for me to try to hypothetically comment on it. But I do think it points to the tragedy, to the sadness, to the challenge, to going right at the heart of what family and being an individual and having a future is all about. That's created by a preventable and treatable and solvable problem with childhood obesity.
Senator, we'll wish you the best of luck at the conference this week here in the nation's capital. We thank you for your time today very much.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Former Tennessee Senator, former U.S. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, who's now co-chair of the Partnership for a Healthier America. He is part of the Building a Healthier Future Summit on Tuesday and Wednesday here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.